I'm Carol Hills, and for Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. Broadcasters usually do everything we can to avoid silence, but today a moment of silence is how TV station WDBJ in Virginia remembered its two slain employees, reporter Allison Parker and cameraman Adam Ward, fatally shot yesterday, live on air, by a disgruntled former coworker. And among the many disturbing things about this tragedy is this: those grisly TV images and the ones posted by the killer himself have now been seen by millions via social media.
What you have is effectively a snuff film that is playing over and over again in people's feeds. And I think we need a better filter for this.
That's Zeynep Tufekci, who writes about the internet and society. She's especially worried about the contagion or copycat effect.
We've seen that a lot of killers are planning for and anticipating a post-death fame, a sensationalized notoriety of a twisted sort, but on their own terms. And unfortunately, they're succeeding, and they're getting better at it almost. This one is so ghastly in how engineered it was. He made sure he had his own video. He sent a 23-page fax to ABC News almost as if pitching the story before he did this murder. And as a result, his face is on, you know, most television screens, and his videos have been embedded in major websites as well as shown on television. And if you look at his manifesto, quote unquote, that he sent, he is very clearly obsessed with past killers. He even mentions their tally, which one killed more and which one killed less, and almost like as if it were a game.
Do you see this as a peculiarly American thing, this use of social media and this quest for posthumous notoriety, or are you seeing it in other parts of the world?
You do, actually. This effect, it's sometimes called a Werther effect. It's after an Austrian writer who wrote a dramatic novel about suicides, which increased suicides in Austria. I mean, this is really horrific, but that's how it works. When you have a modeling effect where you dramatize or sensationalize or romanticize or just create a fame for someone committing these kinds of effects.
But where around the world have there been incidents like the thing we saw yesterday, Vester Flanagan, or other kinds of mass killings that turn out to be kind of copycat killings?
That one is American because we get the most media coverage. And, of course, unlike many other countries, we have availability of guns as a very low threshold. I mean, obviously, gun availability and mental health services are a big part of the picture, because if a troubled person wants to commit something spectacular, if they don't have guns, the death toll is going to be less, which means the media coverage is going to be less sensational, which means the next troubled person is less likely to be inspired by it. So it's this awful feedback cycle of our gun culture, lack of mental health support, and crucially, sensationalized mass media coverage, and now social media virality.
Now, I almost hesitate to make the parallel, but there's another group who uses social media, which is ISIS. Is there any strange overlap in terms of the impact and therefore the copycat nature?
I think it's a great parallel, actually. ISIS is a political organization, so they're not just troubled individuals in the sense these people are. But what they're trying to do with social media is quite similar. They're trying to sensationalize their ghastly murders and have them go viral in the hopes of inspiring troubled people to join them, which they've been successful. In fact, I think the way we now react to ISIS videos, and we've seen through this, right? So we react differently compared to the first one, is a great guideline for what we should do with these other mass killings. When the first ISIS video beheadings came out, it was shared very widely on social media, and it was shown on television. And then there was this backlash, and we said, a lot of us said, they're killing for publicity, and we're giving them publicity. And the next time it happened, I got a lot of warnings from my friends, and I gave some myself. I said, let's not share this. Let's instead share pictures of the victims. And mass media also adopted a lot of this attitude. And now when ISIS does a ghastly murder on video, it doesn't go viral on my social media. Of course, it can be found, but there's a very different effect between something existing in a seedy corner of the internet for the already troubled versus mainstream attention, which is what the next troubled person is seeking and will be inspired by. And I do want to say, when graphic content exposes wrongdoing, as in the case of state violence or police killings or war. I'm not against sharing those because that's not going to inspire the next troubled person. So this is not a blanket call for not looking at graphic footage. Sometimes graphic footage is exactly what's needed to shock the conscious. What I'm talking about is when it's being used, the killing itself is done in the name of publicity.
Zeynep Tufekci is assistant professor at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. She writes about the intersection of the internet and society. Thank you so much, Zeynep.
Thank you.